Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Tzadi Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur from the top line, the Mishnah at the beginning of Daf Tzadi Hey. The issue under discussion, it concerns the differences between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Pesach Rishon being Yud Dalid Nisan, and Pesach Sheni, the makeup date for someone who missed the Pesach Rishon, Yud Dalid Iyar. Ma Bein, the Mishnah, Ma Bein Pesach HaRishon L'Sheni. What are the differences between them? HaRishon Osur V'Bal Yiro V'Bal Yemotze V'Sheni Chometz Umatzo Imo Babayis. The first Pesach on Yud Dalid Nisan, when one is slaughtering his Korban Pesach, so he is not to have any Chometz in his possession. And when one is eating the Korban Pesach, for example, the nighttime, what we call the Seder night, there is a negative command in the Torah of not having a Chometz Lo Yiro'eh and Lo Yimotzei. Two negative commands. Whereas when it comes to the Pesach Sheni, and he's eating the Pesach Sheni, he can have, in his possession, he can have chometz there as well. He's, at that time, he's eating the Pesach Sheni with matzah, but he can be in possession of chometz, as opposed to Pesach Rishon. Another difference, HaRishon Toun Halel Bachiloso, the eating of the Pesach Rishon includes the recitation of Hallel, which, in fact, even though today we don't have a Korban Pesach, we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, but at the Seder night we also recite Hallel. Vasheni, for those who are observing the Pesach Sheni, the makeup Korban Pesach, Eino Toun Hallel Bachiloso. Ze veze ton halil basiosan. However, in this case, they are similar. That during the processing of the sacrifice, the slaughtering and the sprinkling of the blood, both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni have halil recited at that time. Venecholin, other points of similarity, as far as the way in which they're eaten, tzli, they're roasted, Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, as well as al matzu morim, they're eaten together with matzah and moror, and v'doichenes ha-Shabbos. They will supersede Shabbos, not only Pesach Rishon, as is well known, but Pesach Sheni as well. Tonu Rabbanon, we have a Tanaic source, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a Noseah topic heading, Machloikis Tanoim Eich Lidrosh Hapsukim Beinyan Pesach Sheni. We'll see two Tanaic opinions, the Tanakama and toward the end of the source, Isi Ben Yehuda, in how to darshan, how to expand upon the Pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Tes that deals with the Pesach Sheni. Before we actually learn the Gemara, it will be of some benefit to get a flavor of the psukim by looking at the side where we have the psukim included. You notice in your margin of the Gemara, you can see to the right-hand side of the Rashi, in the right-hand side margin, Bamidbar Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Bachodesh Hasheni. Chodesh Hasheni is a reference to the month of Iyar. Bachodesh Hasheni, Arba Asor Yom, on the 14th, Bein Arbayim, in the afternoon, Yaseh Oisoi, the Pesach Sheni shall be processed, Al Matzos Umrorim Yochluhu. It is to be eaten with matzah and moror. Pasuk Yud Beis, Lo Yashiru Mimenu Ad Boker, you should not leave over any till the morning. The etzem lo yishburu bo, there should be no breaking of bones. Kechol chukas ha-pesach yasu oisoi. And the pasuk concludes by saying, following all the laws of Pesach, all the laws of the standard, well-known, famous Korban Pesach that's offered Pesach Rishon on Yud Dalet Iyar, so too, Yud Dalet Nisan, that is, so too you shall offer the Pesach Sheni on Yud Dalet Iyar. Now this last phrase is quite challenging, if you to say the least. We, in fact, already saw that there are differences between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, and yet here the Pesach saying that they are to be treated as the same. So we have a kind of a clash between the Pesach and that which we know otherwise. So this is a function of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition, coming and explaining and limiting the Torah Shebiksav. So let us continue now with the Gemara. The Tana Rabbanan of the Tanaic source, it says, Kol kechol chukas ha-pesach yasu oisoi. The Pesach Sheni shall follow the chukas, or the laws of the Pesach Rishon. It shall be done. Now the word oisoi, we've dashed underlined, this becomes a very important word as far as the upcoming drosha. The word oso is mashma mitzvah b'mitzvah shebegufo akosu medaber. That when it, regarding mitzvahs that are related to the animal itself, to the sacrifice itself, the Korban Pesach. The Rashi says at the top, that second line from the top, Oisoi mashma gufo, b'mitzvah shebegufo akosu medaber. Rashi continues, lo ribo es hasheni ledin rishon. The Torah is not coming to include the Pesach Sheni to be like the Pesach Rishon, Elu b'mitzvah shebegufo, other than with regard, except for the mitzvahs that are related to the animal itself, kagon seder avodoso v'achilas tzli, the way it is processed and it's being eaten roasted, avolo l'mitzvah sheino begufo kagon hashposa sor, but not with regard, in other words, no similarity between them, or no parallel between them, with regard to external mitzvos, external vis-a-vis the animal itself. For example, the riddance of sor. Sor is a reference to chometz. As far as that's concerned, your possession of chometz is not something that's inherent to the korban itself. With regard to Pesach Rishon, so there's an objection to your having chometz. Not so with regard to the Pesach Sheni, that when you're processing the Pesach Rishon, you should not have any chometz. When you're processing the Pesach Sheni, it is of no concern. It doesn't bother us if you have chometz. So now the source continues in the Gemara. Mitzvah sha'al gufo minayin. What about mitzvos that are literally on the korban? In other words, not in the korban, but upon the korban. That's again a literal translation, but it simply means that together with the korban you'll eat matzah and moror. So that even though they are external, but they come along with the korban, that's mitzvah sha'al gufo minayin. From where do we know to include the Pesach Sheni along with the Pesach Rishon in that sense? Talmud Lomar al matzos umrorim yochlu. The Pesach spells that out in Pesach Yud Aleph. We saw that before, and you can refer to the side of your Gemara. So far, what are we saying? With regard to the Pesach Sheni, there will be points in common between it and the Pesach Rishon with regard to mitzvos shebegufo, mitzvos she'al gufo. Let's continue in the source. Yochol afilu mitzvos shelo al gufo. Are you to say that there's parallel even with regard to mitzvos that are not together with the sacrifice? Talmud Lomar. So the Pesach says, V'etzem lo yishburu boi. With regard to the Pesach Sheni, we saw this as well. Pesach Yud Beis, do not break any of its bones. Now, that halacha of bone-breaking prohibition exists by the Pesach Rishon as well. And we say, Ma shviros ha'etzem miyuchad mitzvah shebegufo, just like the prohibition of breaking bones is something inherent in the animal, the sacrifice itself, af kol mitzvah shebegufo, so too, only mitzvahs that are sacrifice-related, in the sacrifice. We extended it a little bit to include even those things that are together with the sacrifice, like the eating of matzah and moror, but not to include mitzvos sheloi al gufo, like the prohibition of being in possession of chometz. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Yasu Oisoi, b'mitzvos shebegufo hakosuv medaber. This sounds a little bit repetitious, however, there's a big difference. Isi ben Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakhama. Isi ben Yehuda says that from the word Oisoi, I see from there that you are limited, that the parallel is limited to mitzvah shebegufo. According to the Tanakhama, the word oisoi was not so convincing. According to the Tanakhama, how did we learn the limitation to sacrifice-related points? The Tanakhama learned that from the Etzem lo yishbaru boi. So there is a difference between the two. Omar Mor, Yochol af mitzvah shelo al gufo. This, you can see we have a little star. You can see this is a quote from the source and where it's coming from by paralleling the stars. In the source, the question was raised, shall we parallel Pesach Sheni to Pesach Rishon even with regard to mitzvahs that are shelo al gufo? That was a question in the source. The Gemara asks, why did the Brisa raise that question? Ha Amris, but you said the mitzvah shebegufo hakosuv medaber. You use your arrow to parallel or to align where this quote is coming from in the source. The source opened up by saying that the parallel exists only with regard to mitzvah shebegufo. If that be the case, that having been said, why does the Brisa raise the question of shall we parallel them with regard to mitzvah sheloi al gufoi? The Gemara answers, and the answer takes a couple lines to develop. Hochi Komar will explain what was going on in the mind of the Tanakhama. Hashto the Amris al matzis rem yochluhu. Once we've established that Pesach Sheni is commanded to be eaten with matzis moror, which is not exactly mitzvah shebegufo anymore. It's mitzvah she'al gufo. It's a little bit further away. It's not inherent in the animal and the sacrifice itself. And yet, Pesach Sheni has that. Almo yasu oisoi lav dafkahu. So with that having been said, so the word oisoi, which we thought meant in the animal itself, you see, that's not so. Amo, I would now think to reason that the structure of the verse is as follows. Havile kepratu klau. There's a oral tradition in how to approach psukim, and there are numerous different rules in how to expound upon verses. One of those rules is called prat uklau. A prat is where you have a detail, and a klau is where you have a general statement. So now that I know that the mitzvah of Korban Pesach Sheni, Pesach Sheni, is such that the word oisoi is really not a limitation expression, because we know we go beyond that. We have the Pesach Sheni being eaten together with matzah moror. I might have thought that the structure of the pasuk now is there's a detail, and then there's a general statement that follows in the pasuk. And when you have a structure like that of prat uklal, the Gemara goes on to say, v'nase klal moisif al haprat. The general statement that appears later in the pasuk will extend the laws of Pesach Sheni even beyond that which is written in the psukim themselves. And if I say that by virtue of the structure of detail followed by general principle or general statement, v'afilu kol milinami, and then I would go on to say that I'll include everything that exists by the Pesach Rishon, I'll apply to the Pesach Sheni. And if that would be the case, then I'll go even so far as to include the din, the prohibition of having chametz in your possession while doing the Pesach Sheni. Komash Malon, therefore it was necessary for the Pesach, according to the Tanakama, to say ve'etzem lo yishbru bo, to limit me. Limit me to mitzvos that are begufo, and not mitzvos shelo al gufo. And as a result, when it comes to Pesach Sheni, there will be no halach of hashpos asor, of getting rid of chometz. Isi ben Yehuda, hai etze mai ovid lei. According to Isi ben Yehuda, as we mentioned earlier, he learned the limitation of the parallel between Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni to Mitzvah Shebegufo from the original word, Yasu Oisoi, the word Oisoi meaning it, the Begufo. The Pesach having said, Kechol Chukas HaPesach Asu, that was the opening Pesach in the Tanaic source we saw. That itself limits me to Mitzvah Shebegufo. I didn't need Etzem Lo Yishbru Bo for that purpose. So why does the Torah, when discussing the Pesach Sheni, why does it mention Etzem Lo Yishbru Bo? Now, as far as knowing that prohibition, I don't need to spell it out. You told me, Kechol Chukas HaPesach Yasu Oso. You shall do the Pesach Sheni as you treat the Pesach Rishon, and in Pesach Rishon we already know that bones shall not be broken. So why, according to Isi Ben Yud, is there a need to spell out Etzem Lo Yishbru Bo by the Pesach Sheni? Answer, Mi Boyale. He needs it, Le'echot Etzem Sheish Boy Moyach, Ve'echot Etzem She'ein Boy Moyach. The prohibition of breaking bones is extended to bones, even bones that do not contain marrow. Or maybe more accurately, even bones that contain marrow, you shall not break them. If I didn't have the posuk, I would have thought that since there's a mitzvah to eat the meat, and meat will the term meat will include the marrow of bones, so maybe you should break them open to get to the marrow. So the posuk tells me etzem lo yishbru bo, which essentially is an extra posuk. It's coming to tell me not only bones that don't have marrow, but even bones that have marrow, you're not allowed to break them open. You can't break those bones. Rabbonon ha yasu oisoi mai avdilei. What did the Rabbonon that didn't really learn mitzvah shebegufo from the word oisoi, so what do they learn from the word oisoi? Miboyalei, the Gemara answers, they need it. She'ein shechten es ha-pesach al ha-yochid, de'kamo de'efshel ha-duri mahadrinon. The emphasis in this phrase of yasu oso is in the word yasu is a plural expression, indicating that the Pesach Sheni shall not be done for a private person. Namely, if you have someone that missed the Pesach Rishon because he was Tomei and has to now use the opportunity of Yudalit Ior to make it up, he has to seek out, Kama de Efshir Laduri means as much as he can seek out others, we want him to seek them out, to seek out other people who are also Tomei Pesach Rishon that need to do a Pesach Sheni, and to have them appointed and counted as part of a group for the Pesach Sheni. And that's learned from the word Ya'asu. Tonu Rabbonan. The next Tanaic source, and we have a no say, a topic heading on the side introducing this section, and also an indication that this will go until Ad Omid Beis. We have a rather lengthy discussion. Limud shel klal uprat lelamed al hadoyme v'al hashoyne ben Pesach Rishon lePesach Sheni. The psukim that we've made reference to already, Bamidbar, Perek Tes, Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, have in them a number of details detail mitzvahs that one is to practice while doing the Pesach Sheni. There is also a general statement at the end of the Pasuk, end of Pasuk Yud Beis, Kechol general, the words, as all the laws of Pesach Rishon, you shall do the Pesach Sheni. That's a general statement. So what we're going to be doing in this drasha is looking at the Pasuk as if it were, there's a klal and a prat. The klal expression, when you see a klal, that comes to include other things. A prat, a detail, is a type of exclusionary idea, namely, this is what you are to do, and we are coming to exclude something else. So what we have was a type of push and pull situation. We want to include, and we also are interested in excluding. So when we go on in this particular, we'll call it an exercise in expounding upon the verses, Bamidbar Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, we're going to be looking at each one of the details mentioned. There were, actually, you'll see there were three types of detail here. What are we going to include, and what are we going to exclude? So at each stage, there's going to be two points of information. One, something that's included, and something that's excluded. So we have three stages, and at each stage we're going to be asking the same question. What are we including by virtue of the fact that there is a general statement, the statement Kechol Chukas HaPesach, and what are we going to exclude by virtue of the fact that there are three separate protim, three separate details, and their presence in this kind of construction, klal uprat, comes to tell us to exclude. If all of this introduction sounds a bit abstract, have no fear. It will become much clearer as we go along in the Gemara. So we first read the Tanaic source and bear in mind that the details of the source will be explained later in the Gemara. And as we said earlier, this discussion will continue till the top part of Amud Beis. Tonu Rabbona, we now continue with the framed source. Kechol Chukas HaPesach Ya'asu Oso. This is a klal, a general statement, that the Pesach Sheni shall follow all the laws of the Pesach Rishon. Well, all the laws, is that really so? Yochol Kishem Sharishon Osir B'Vayiro B'Yemotzei. Just like is the case with regard to Pesach Rishon, there is a prohibition of having chometz, which is reflected in the Torah by two negative commands. Baal is the same thing as saying al yiro'eh, or lo yiro'eh. Baal yiro'eh, baal yimotzeh. So too, are you going to say the same thing with regard to the Pesach Sheni kach, Sheni also baal yiro'eh, baal yimotzeh? The Gemara answers, the Braisa answers, Talmud lomar, al matzos, umrorim yochluhu. That is not quite so clear. What kind of response is that to the question? Leave that to the Gemara, though, to elucidate. So, from saying Al Matz Rom Yochlu, I understand that the Pesach Sheni will not be bound by the Dinim of Bayiro Bayimotze. Again, that's not clear yet. V'ein Lielo Mitzvas Asei. The Posuk of Al Matz Rovim Yochlu is a positive command. You shall eat the Pesach Sheni with Matz and Moror. So I see that only with regard to a positive command is there a parallel. Mitzvahs Lo Sasa Minayin. What about with regard to negative commands? Talmud Lomar Lo Yashiru Mimenu Ad Boker. You shall not leave over, this was in Pasuk Yud Beis, you shall not leave over any of the Pesach Sheni meat till the next morning. V'ein li elo mitzvahs lo yisase shenitak laasei. Lo yashiru mimeno ad boker is an example of a negative command that has following it in the Torah a positive command, namely, and that which you, and if there is anything left over, so it is to be burnt. That's called a lav. That's Vein Lielo Mitzvah Losa Shinita Klase Lo Yashur Mimeno. Boker is an example of a negative command that has been removed from the simple realm of negative commands, which usually result in lashing. Not so in the case of someone who leaves over Korban Pesach meat, because there's an aseh, the aseh being that you shall burn the leftover meat. Mitzvah lo saseh gomor minayin. What about parallels between the Pesach Rishon and the Pesach Sheni when it comes to true negative commands? True meaning pure negative commands without a positive command following them. Talmud lomar ve'etzem lo yishbru boi. You shall not break its bones. That's a simple negative command. And that is stated by the Pesach Sheni as well. Ma haprat mefurosh mitzvah saseh v'lo saseh shenitik laseh v'lo saseh gomor. Just like detail-wise, in these psukim, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, the nature of the details are a positive command that we already saw was Amatzis Merm Yochlu. There is also an example of a negative command followed by a positive command. That was the Lo Yashiru Men Ad Boker. And there's also an example of a Lo Yisaseh Gomor, do not break its bones. So we continue. Af Kol Mitzaseh V'lo Yisaseh Shinita Kaseh V'lo Saseh Gomor. So too, just like in the Pesach Rishon, you have these. So too, let me be a little more accurately. Just like the details featured a mitzvah saseh, lo saseh shnigo saseh, and thirdly, lo saseh gomor. So too, we will be able to include other examples of mitzvah saseh and lo saseh shnigo saseh and lo saseh gomor. Still, this might sound a bit vague. What are we now going to do? We're going to explain all of this source. So the general scheme here is to be aware of that there is a general pasuk which parallels Pesach Sheni to Pesach Rishon, and then there are details that are spelled out in the pasuk showing the laws of Pesach Sheni that are in fact similar to the laws of Pesach Rishon. When you have a construction like this, a klal and a prat, we know there's a push-pull situation. Namely, you are going to include a little more than is stated in the pasuk. On the other hand, we are going to be excluding things. So that as we go on in the Gemara, we're thinking about the entire list of laws that apply to a Pesach Rishon and see from that list what do we want to include as applying to Pesach Sheni and what do we want to exclude. Beklole de mitzvah de masis emorim mai ko marbi. And now, what does that mean, beklole? After the pasuk says kechol chukas haPesach, follow all of the laws of the first Pesach when doing the Pesach Sheni. Follow all the laws, and then in the details, mention was made of masis emorim. So in that spirit, and of having a general principle here, what are we going to include? Mai ko marbi. What are we going to be including? Answer, Tzli Eish, another positive command, thou shalt roast the meat. Befrote, my memaile, by the fact that the Torah spelled out details, in this case, Masimurim, what are we going to be excluding? In other words, there's another positive command that in this case won't apply to Pesach Sheni, but does apply to Pesach Rishon. So what are we excluding? Hashposas Seor, the positive command of getting rid of chametz. Only with regard to Pesach Rishon are we instructed to get rid of chametz, not so with regard to the Pesach Sheni. Epuch Ano, and you'll see this marking repeated throughout the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading on the side, that we have a double underline feature, that's Ma Malamed HaKlal Uprat Shel Kol Shlav. What does the Klal Uprat include at each stage? And then the diamond in our Gemara represents Hatzois, Hatzois Epuchana, suggestions. Why not switch around? I'll call Maskoner. From every conclusion that's reached, the Gemara will ask, well, why not switch around? So in this particular case, we will be asking Epochano, namely, what we just got finished saying, we will include, with regard to Pesach Sheni, the need to roast it, and we will exclude the command of getting rid of chametz. Why not say the other way around, that we will include, with regard to Pesach Sheni, your obligation to get rid of your chametz, and as far as how to prepare it, we're excluding the tzliyesh. The Gemara says, no, I'm not going to follow that suggestion. Mitzvah de gufei odif. A mitzvah that applies to the korban itself is more preferable in terms of including. So if I have a chance to include another kind of mitzvah, positive mitzvah, along with Masis Murim, with regard to the Pesach Sheni, what other positive mitzvah will we want to include? The Pesach Sheni, must be prepared in a roasting fashion. And not to include that the Pesach Sheni must be accompanied by your getting rid of your chametz. We continue. Stage 2. The klolei delo yashir mimenat boiker. Mai komar balei. With regard to the klal aspect of the pasuk, after all, it did say kechol chukas ha-pesach yasu aso. So, along with the detail of lo yashir mimenat boiker, what else am I going to include that's like that? And again, lo yashir mimenat boiker, we saw in the Brisa, was an example of a mitzvah loisa seshenitak lase. So, along with lo yashir mimenat boiker, what other mitzvah will I include as applying to the Pesach Sheni, which we find by the Pesach Rishon? My komarbile, answer, loy soitzi mimenu. Do not take meat away from the group in which you are eating. And the understanding is, if you do take it away, if you remove it from the group that you are eating, bring it back. So that's a lav, lo soitzi mimenu, accompanied by the ase, the positive command to bring it back. So that, too, I am going to learn that as applying to the Pesach Sheni. The Rashi points out the lo sotzi is the pasuk of don't take it out of the place from which you're eating it. Don't take it out of the room or the house in which you're eating it. And the understanding is, there's a positive command, do bring it back. That's a lav shenita klase. Biprote mai komimayitle. As far as the prat aspect, namely, I have a detail that was spelled out in the posuk, and as we said, when you have this kind of construction of a klal and a prat, we know to exclude something. So what are we going to exclude by way of parallel between these two psochim? Answer, lo yiro'eh v'lo yimotzei. The negative command of having chometz in your possession. Now, you shall not have in your possession chometz. That's lo yiro'eh v'lo yimotzei. And that is also a type of lav shenita klasei. Namely, that if you do find chometz, then you have to positively get rid of it. So we are not going to include the issur of lo yirav lo yimotzei with regard to the Pesach Sheni, and that's because we have a prat here, a detail that we already spelled out. The detail of lo sotzi mimenu is excluding this negative command of Loyer Velomot, says not applying to the Pesach Sheni. Question, Epo Hano. Again, the same question of maybe we should switch things around and say as follows, that when it comes to the Pesach Sheni, the Isser of Loyer Velomot, say the prohibition Loyer Velomot, say applies, and the prohibition of Lo Sotzi Mimenu does not apply. So Moses says, no, we're not going to follow that suggestion. Mitzvah de Gufei Odif. We prefer to parallel Pesach Rishon with Pesach Sheni with regard to mitzvahs that are inherent in the korban itself. And as far as if you have to make a choice between lo sotzi mimenu and lo yoram lemetzei, so lo sotzi mimenu means don't take the korban itself out of where you are eating it. Don't take it to another room, or don't take it to another house. As opposed to lo yoram lemetzei has nothing to do with the korban pesach itself. It has to do with your ownership of chametz. So, once again, mitzvah de gufei odif, we prefer establishing the parallel regarding that kind of mitzvah that's inherent in the animal itself, in the korban, in the sacrifice itself. Beklolei de etzem lo yishbru boi, and here we're at the third stage. The pasuk mentioned a straightforward loisaseh, namely, do not break its bones, and being that this is found together with a klal, kechol chukas haPesach yasua, so what are we going to include? We're at the top of Omid Beis. My call marbe. What other simple or straightforward negative command are we going to include with regard to the Pesach Sheni? Al tochlu mimenu no. The Torah instructs that you, by Pesach Rishon, don't eat it in the no state. No state is eating it, we'll say, practically raw. Don't eat it like that. It has to be well roasted. So that's a simple, that's a straightforward negative command. And that will apply to Pesach Sheni as well. Befrote mai komemaiti, as far as on the detail, from the fact that there is this detail of etzem lo sishbru bo, what other negative command that you find by the Pesach Rishon am I going to exclude vis-a-vis the Pesach Sheni? Answer, lo sishchar al chometz dam zivchi. You shall not slaughter the Korban Pesach while you are in possession of chometz. The Pesach Sheni, on the other hand, won't be subject to that restriction. The Gemara asks, Epuchano, why not switch around and say that with regard to the processing of the Pesach Sheni, you are to observe the restriction of Lo Sishchar al Chometz Dam Zivchi, and as far as method of eating the Korban Pesach, you can eat the Pesach Sheni, no, you can eat it even if it's practically raw. The Gemara says, no, I'm not going to follow that. Mitzvah de gufei odif. If I want to include something along with etzem lo sishbru bo, I'm going to include a mitzvah that's relevant to the animal, to the sacrifice itself. Namely, the meat itself has to be well roasted. And if I'm going to exclude something, then I'm going to be excluding something that's not a mitzvah de gufei, as is the case when it comes to possession of chometz while slaughtering it. Continuing in the Gemara, we quote from the Mishnah HaRishon, Ta'un Halel Bachiloso. Before we continue in the Gemara, we just glance at the side under the Nosei. The Gemara will be discussing in the next section Halel, Shas Asiya, and Shas Achila. Halel, recitation while a Korban Pesach is being processed, and halal recitation while it's being eaten later that night. In the meantime, the Mishnah said that that the Pesach Rishon requires halal recitation while it's being eaten. Menohani mili, from where do we know that? Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehud Sadok Omar Kro. The Pasuk says, Hashir Yelochem Kaleil Hiskadesh Chag. The Pasuk describes the future redemption of the Jewish people from their state of exile. That's the Gula Asida. There will be song. There will be shir. What kind of shir? Like the night that was sanctified as a festivity. Lailo Hamakudish Lechag Ta'un Halel. A night that was sanctified or dedicated as a chag, as a holiday, that requires halal. That's a reference to the Pesach Rishon. The Pesach Rishon nighttime is at the time of festivity, and that involves the eating of the Korban Pesach. Laila She'en Mekudish L'Chag, a night that's not dedicated as a holiday, namely Pesach Sheni, the night following the 14th of Iyar, is not a night that's Mekudish L'Chag. Therefore, as the Mishnah said, there is no Ein Ton Hallel, there's no Hallel recitation during the eating of Pesach Sheni. Ze v'ze t'unin halel be'asiyosin. As it is in contrast to the din achila, to the eating of these korbanos, when it comes to the processing of them, the shchita and the zrikas adam, both the Pesach Rishon as well as the Pesach Sheni require halel to be recited at that time. My time, what is the reason for that? Ibo esemo lailo komemayit yom lo komemayit. It could be that the night time was excluded, namely, that's the time of the eating. Regarding that, there was exclusion, whereas regarding daytime, we didn't see any evidence of exclusion. So, just like Pesach Rishon, daytime, when the sacrifice is being slaughtered, 14th of Nisan during the day, that's the time for its asiyah, its processing, so too, Pesach Sheni, 14th of Iyar daytime, it too will have halel. V'boy seima, efsher Yisrael shochten es pischem v'notn es l'vayim v'ein omrim halel. The second approach is a type of logic, namely, can you imagine the Jewish people are preoccupied with their korban pesachs, and similarly preoccupied on Sukkot's time with the taking of their lulavim, and they wouldn't be saying halel. Halel is an outburst of praise, of joy and praise expressed to the Almighty. So that when one is involved with the performance of these unique, significant mitzvos, it's impossible to imagine anything else, any other situation other than the recitation of halel. Therefore, that applies equally to Pesach Sheni. V'necholim tzli v'doichines ha-Shabbos. The Mishnah had said that the Pesach Sheni, like the Pesach Rishon, is eaten in a roasted form, and if the 14th of Iyar, Pesach Sheni date, coincides with a Shabbos, the laws of Pesach Sheni, the processing of it, will overrule or supersede Shabbos, and you'll go ahead and do your Pesach Sheni. The Gemara wants to know, or actually, the Gemara points out Shabbos in Tumalo. The laws of Shabbos will be superseded. However, the phenomenon of Tumah will not be superseded. That means that the Pesach Sheni can be offered only if they are tohor, not if they are tomei. Masnisin delo kereb Yehuda. The Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda de Sanya. The source says Doiche es Shabbos vein Doiche es Tuma. Pesach Sheni supersedes Shabbos, but not so if the person is tomei. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af Doiche es Tuma. Pesach Sheni supersedes even the laws of Tuma. My time of the Tanakhama. What's the logic behind the reasoning of the Tanakhama that Pesach Sheni will not supersede Tuma, namely if the owner is Tomei, he will not offer it? The Gemara answers, Mipnei Tuma Dechisiv. The original Pesach which was on the 14th of Nisan. So the owner, who happened to be Tomei at that time, he was pushed away because of Tuma. Yachser v'yaseh b'tumah, is he now going to do it in Tumah? He was pushed away because he was Tomei. Would it make sense that now that it's Pesach Sheni, he will be able to do it when he's Tomei? Rebbe Yehuda's response to that is, HaTorah chozra olav la'asoso b'tara. The Torah, in providing a makeup date, was interested in enabling him, the owner, to do his Korban Pesach while Tohar. Lo zocha, if he didn't merit it, yaseh b'tumah. So since this is like the last chance and he didn't merit being tahor, so let him do it when he is tamei. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a source in which you see triangles, and on the side under our Nosei Mivne heading, the triangle is featured, and we introduce this as Pesach Sheni, Legabi Dechias Shabbos V'tumah, Pesach Sheni with regard to its superseding Shabbos and the rules of Tumah, and E Ta'un Lino. Is there a requirement for staying over in Yerushalayim through the night, staying overnight till the next morning when doing the Korban Pesach? So we continue now in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Pesach Rishon, Doiches HaShabbos, Pesach Sheni, Doiches HaShabbos. They are similar with regard to the ability of these sacrifices to necessitate their offering, even if it happens to fall out on a Shabbos. A second point, Pesach Rishon, Doiches HaTumah, Pesach Sheni, Doiches HaTumah. The two supersede the laws of Tumah. And third point, Pesach Rishon Ta'un Lina, Pesach Sheni Ta'un Lina. Lina is, as we said, to stay overnight, through the night, in Yerushalayim, till the next morning. Doche Esatumo, Keman, that which we say that the Pesach Sheni supersedes Tumah, namely that it will be done even if he is Tomei. Who does that parallel? Well, that parallels, or that's in accordance with the ruling of Rabbi Yehuda, which we saw a number of lines up. You can use the little arrow that you see to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. That's where Rabbi Yehuda said, after Chesatuma, that if the owner is Tomei on Pesach Sheni, he will offer it. We continue in the Gemara with a question. Ula Rabbi Yehuda Ta'un Lina. If you're telling me that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, would Rabbi Yehuda require Lina staying overnight? V'hotanya. We have the following source, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and the emphasis is again on Rabbi Yehuda. He's the issue right now. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, minayin lePesach Sheni she'ein Ta'un Lina. From where do we know that the Pesach Sheni does not require Lina? Shenemar ufonisa v'boker v'alachta l'olecha. That pasuk means you shall turn away in the morning and go out of Yerushalayim. L'olecha means to leave Yerushalayim. Uksiv sheishes yomim toichal matzes. And in the same context, it says you shall eat matzah for 6 days. And we learn from the juxtaposition of these psukim hanechal l'shisha to'onina, that kind of Pesach that has an additional 6 days of matzah eating, well, it's that kind of Pesach that necessitates staying over the night within Yerushalayim. However, v'she'eshein nechal l'shisha, that kind of Pesach, i.e. Pesach Sheni, that doesn't have any additional 6 days of matzah expectation, ein ta'un lina. It does not require staying over. The question, though, is raised. You see that Rabbi Yehuda, with regard to Pesach Sheni, does not require Lina. How then did we set up our Mishnah, wherein it said Doiches HaTumah, and it also said that Pesach Sheni requires Lina? How did we set that up like Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara answers, Trei Tanoi Valiva de Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, there are two later Tanaic opinions as to what Rabbi Yehuda himself really holds. So that is what we see reflected here. The machlokas surrounding the din of Lina. According to one Tana, Pesach Sheni requires Lina, and according to the other Tana, Pesach Sheni does not require Lina. The other Tana within Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah. A Pesach Shebo Betuma Lo Yochlu Mimenu Zovin V'zavos, nidos, v'yodos. Pesach HaBo B'tumah is reference to the 14th of Nisan, and you find that the majority of Klal Yisrael are Tomei Meis. Then we are told here that even though the majority are Tomei Meis, are able to eat the korban, even though they're tomei, Nevertheless, these other kinds of tameim are not allowed to eat from it. These are the zovin, zovos, nidos. These are tumas whose origin is from within the person's body, as opposed to tumas meis, defilement to the dead, that's an external source of tuma. The Mishnah goes on to say, v'im ochlu p'turin mikoreis. If, however, in the case of a Pesach Habo b'tuma, these people, the zovim, zovos, nidos, and yoldos, ate from it, even though they're not allowed to, they are exempt, they're free from the koreis punishment, which is characteristic in general of a person who is tamei who eats a korban. A person who is tamei in general who eats a korban is chayav koreis, but not so under these circumstances when you're dealing with a Pesach Habo b'tuma. And of course, the Gemara will expound upon this. Rebbe Lezer, poter af al bias mikdash. Bias mikdash means entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. In a case of a Pesach Habo b'tuma, where the majority of people are tamei meis, and they are allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash, these people featured in the Mishnah, the Zavim, Zavas, etc., that are not going to be eating from their Korban Pesach, if they enter the Beis HaMikdash, even though they don't have a right to, they're not like the other Tameim, the Tamei Meis that have a right. They don't have a right, but if they do, they're exempt from the Koreis punishment, which is characteristic of someone who is Tamei, who enters the Beis HaMikdash. But since we are dealing with a Pesach Habo b'tuma, a very special circumstance, so these punishments won't apply to these individuals. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading which we could have read earlier, but it's anyway good review. The Nosei Pesach Habo b'tuma. Afalpi shenemar haheter beiker betumas meis, even though the basic heter is with regard to defilement of the dead, yesh kulois gam legabi zovin umitzram. There are leniences regarding these other kinds of tmeim, zovin umitzorin, etc. Tonu rabbonon, zovin vizovos nidos viodos, sheochlu bepesach shebo betumo. If they ate, the Zav, Zava, Nido, Yoledis, ate from a Pesach Habo b'tuma, Yochel Yuchayevim, would they be Chayev Kores? Which, as we said before, someone who is Tomei and eats from sacrificial meat is Chayev Kores. What about in this case? Talmud Loimar, Kol Tohor Yochal Bosor, Vanefesh Yishir Toichal Bosor, Mizevach HaShlamim Asher LaShem, V'tum osoy olov v'nichrisa. So again, we're dealing with juxtaposition of psukim. One pasuk tells us that if you're tohor, you shall eat the meat, and the other pasuk says anyone who is tomei and eats the meat will be guilty of a koreis punishment. What do we see from this juxtaposition? Ne'echal l'tohorim, when the korban is being eaten by people that are tor, chayoven olav mishum tomei. Then, someone who is tomei will be guilty and of liable to a koreis punishment if he eats. However, v'sheino ne'echal l'tohorim, ein tomein chayoven olav mishum tomei. When it's not ne'echal l'tohorim, but rather to tomeim, as is the case when it's a Pesach Habo b'tuma, when the majority of people are tomei meis, they don't eat it when they are tohor. Those other people who are technically not allowed to eat from it because they have a different kind of tumah, they have tumah hayotze migufo, as we explained before. Nevertheless, if they eat, they are ein tameim chayav lo mishum tomei. They won't be chayav kores for having eaten it while tomei. Once again, since the majority of people are going to be eating it while they are tomei, they are tomei meis, so that reduces the severity of the other kinds of tomeim that might have eaten. Rabbi Lezer Omer Yochol Dohaku Zovim V'nichnesu La'azora V'pesach V'batumah Yochol Yuchayovin. Could it be that people or like Zovim and Mitzorayim who pushed their way into the Azora on that occasion where it's a Pesach Habo Batuma, would they be chayiv? Would they be liable to the Korei's punishment as a Tomei who enters the Beis HaMikdash? Tamud Lomar Vishachu Min HaMachne Kol Tzorah V'chol Zav V'chol Tomei L'Nefesh. This is the Pasuk dealing with sending out of the Beis HaMikdash people who are Tmeim. So what does it say in this Pasuk? You shall send out from your camp the Mitzorah, the Zav, and anyone who is Tomei L'Nefesh, anyone who is Tomei Mace. What do we learn from this? What do we learn from the fact that these different kinds of Tumah are grouped together? We say, Bizman Shetmei Mace Mishtachin, when people who have been defiled to the dead are sent out, sent away from the Beis HaMikdash, Zavin Mitzorah and Mishtachin, so they too are sent away. Ain Tmei Mace Mishtachin, in an event where the Tmei Mesim are not sent away, which is the case in the Pesach Habo Batuma, Ein Zavin Usar Mishtachin, so too they are not sent away. And therefore, in a case of a Pesach Habo Batuma, according to the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, if they push their way into the Azora, they will not be guilty or liable to the Koreis punishment. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, followed by a structural note. The topic is, Ad kamo mikilim litmei mesim bepesach habo betumo. How far are we going to be lenient with regard to people that are tomei mes in the context of a pesach habo betumo? The double underline highlights the lead expression in each instance to what's under discussion, Dohaku, etc. They pushed their way in. The question is, who is it? And at each stage, this example will be different. The diamond introduces Sidro Shel She'elois. So you see a couple of diamonds here, starting with Boyer of Yosef, and the diamonds continue till the upper part of Tzadi Vovam and Aleph. Boy Rav Yosef, Dohaku Tmei Mesim, V'nichnesu l'heichal b'pesach habo b'tumah mahu. Now the heichal of the Beis HaMikdash is the enclosed area, the building area, as opposed to enclosed courtyards, a totally enclosed structure. That's the heichal. In the heichal, you had the shulchan, the golden table for the lechem aponim. You had the menorah, that was the golden menorah lit every day, and you had the mizbeach. Mizbeach HaKetoros. In addition to that, you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Holy of Holies that housed the Aron HaBris with the Ten Commandments in the first Beis HaMikdash. In the second Beis HaMikdash, the Aron HaBris wasn't there, but it's still part of this Holy of Holies was still there, part of the Heichal. So if Yosef asks, we know that Tmei Mesim in a Pesach Habo Batuma are allowed in the Azora. What about if they enter the Heichal? And we should point out, by the way, that the Heichal was a place forbidden for non-Kohanim at all times, and even Kohanim were not allowed in the Heichal unless they had a specific service to perform over there. Now we have people that are Tmei Mesim. And the question is, let's say they push their way into the Heichal, what is the din? Do we say, and there are two sides of this question, Aleph, Oy Dilma, the next line is Skugel under Oy Dilma, or possibly Beis. Do we say, Mi the Ishtari Tumas Azora, Ishtari Nami Tumas Heichal, that Ishtari means it was rescinded or relaxed or permitted the laws of Tuma with regard to the courtyard. So in that suspension, there is suspended also Tuma with regard to the Heichal. And if you take that approach, so there won't be any guilt and punishment for someone who enters the Heichal in a Pesach Habo Batuma who happened to be Tomei. Oy Dilma, my de Ishtari Ishtari, my de Lo Ishtari Lo Ishtari. Or maybe the approach is that which we see is allowed or relaxed. Regarding those things, we say so. However, my veloshtri, that which was not allowed, let's go over this point once again, that which was allowed, for example, entrance to the Azora, so we allow that without question. And however, as far as my delo ishtri, entrance to the Hechal, we don't see any explicit permission for that. So loishtri, it was not permitted. Omar Rava, Omar Kra. Rava answers, quoting a pasuk, Vishachu min amachne. We saw this, we saw reference to this pasuk earlier. Vishachu min amachne, we saw Kol Tzura v'Chol Zov. That's to be understood as afilu miktsas machne. In other words, the law of sending people out will apply even if it applies to only part of the encampment, literally part of the Beis Hamikdash. So even though we're not going to send out the Tamei Mesim from the Azora, nevertheless we will send them out of the Hechal. Ikav Yamri. Now an opposite version or a more lenient version of Rava is presented. Omar Rava, Omar Kro, Vishachu min Amachne, and it goes, that's in Pasuk Beis, and it goes on in Pasuk Gimel to say, El Michutz Amachne Tishalchum. So this Pasuk in and of itself has some extra terminology, and therefore we darshan, Kol Hecha de Karinon Bei, El Michutz Amachne Tishalchum. When we apply that rule, which means you've got to send people out completely, even from the Azara, then I will apply the rule of Yishachu min Amachne, send them out of the Hechal. However, where I'm not bound by El Michutz Machon L'Shachum, where I'm not sending the Tmeim out of the Tmei Mesim, out of the Azara, for example, in the case of a Pesach Abba Batuma, since I won't be sending them out, so to speak, of the Hechal. In other words, if they enter the Hechal, they're not going to be guilty of Kores for having entered a place that is forbidden in a state of Tuma. Boy Rav Yosef, Dochagu Tmei Mesim V'ochlu Emurei Pesach Abba Batuma. The Emurim is a reference to the Kloyos and Yoser Sakovi. These are different parts of the inner organs of the animal that are placed on the Mizbeach, that they're not to be eaten. The question here is, we have a time, namely it's a Pesach Abba Batuma, where people are Tamei Meis, and they're allowed to eat the meat. What about if they eat those parts of the sacrifice that are supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach? That's Rav Yosef's question of Dochu Tamei Mesim V'Ochlu Emurei Pesach Abba Batuma. The Gemara continues at the top of Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph. Mahu. These Tamei Mesim ate the Emurim. The Emurim is not part of the, as we said already a couple times, it's those parts of the animal are to be offered to the Almighty on the altar. In this case, the question is though, the Tmei Mesim that are allowed to eat meat, what if they ate these parts? And again, two sides of the question. With the Ishtari, Tumas, Balser Ishtari Nami Tumas Emurim, once we suspended the laws of Tumah with regard to eating the meat, we will be lenient also with regard to someone who eats the Emurim. Rashi adds, by the way, that still that one won't be guilty of eating the Emurim, but Tumah, they still are prohibited to be eaten, namely the Kloyos in the state, the Yisra Sakovet, they are prohibited because of what's called an Isser Zorus. Zor means strange. You are a stranger with regard to eating those things. You are not to eat them. Nevertheless, the issue, the focus right now is not on whether it's mutter or usher to eat them. The focus right now is if you eat them in a state of tuma, what will the din be? So the first possibility is saying there won't be any problem, there won't be any punishment for it because the laws of Tuma have been suspended with regard to the Bosser in the case of a Pesach Abba Batuma. Oy Dilma, or it might be that my de ishtari ishtari, my de lo ishtari lo ishtari. That which the Torah allows, namely the eating of the meat in a state of Tuma, Tumas Meis, to that we allow. But that which was not allowed, for example the Emurim, so it remains prohibited, and if one were to eat the Emurim in a state of Tuma, he would be chayev, would be guilty. Omar Rova. Here we have an answer, and it takes a number of lines to develop. Omar Rova, michti. Let's look into this. Tumas emurim mehecha israbi. The din of someone who eats emurim in a state of tuma, that one would be chayev for that. One would be guilty of eating the equivalent of eating meat in a state of tumah, which would be chayev kore. So where was that concept even learned with regard to the emurim? Mitumas bosar. It was learned from the laws that apply to someone who is tameh, who eats from sacrificial meat, which is designed for eating. And with regard to that, the tumas bosar, dichtiv, asher lashem, larabos esemurim. We know in the pasuk that says asher, it says asher lashem, we know to include the prohibition of eating a murim while in a state of tumah. Now, what about our question? Because we're dealing with a case of Pesach habo b'tumah. So we say as follows: Kol hecha diisei l'tumas baser, isei l'tumas emurim. When the laws of tumah apply to the meat, they will apply to the emurim as well. Kol hecha delesei l'tumas baser, lesei l'tumas emurim. Where the laws don't apply to the baser, as is the case in a Pesach habo b'tumah, the laws of tumah will not apply to the emurim either. And just to repeat ourselves, we're not suggesting that you're allowed to eat emurim. All we're saying is that if you ate them in a state of tumas, in a state of tumah, you won't be guilty and liable to the punishment of kores. Boy, Rebbe Zera, emurei psochim Pesach Mitzrayim, the emurim, which we say the innards of all korbanos are placed on the mizbeach. What about that very first korban Pesach that was celebrated in Mitzrayim, prior to their actual exodus? Hecha ikterinu, where did they burn those innards? Omar le'abaye, uman lema lon delo shaviski avud. In your question, Abaye says to Rabbi Zera, you're assuming that they were to be offered on the altar, and your question is, where were they offered? Abaye says, in questioning Rabbi Zera's premise, who says they were offered to begin with? Who says, he said, Uman Le Malon Delo Shaviskel, who says they didn't take the Emurim of their Pesach Mitzrayim, the very first Pesach in history? And when we say in history, first Pesach done by the collective Jewish people, who is to say that the organs, the inner organs, were not roasted? Well, with that, we're questioning the whole, the basic assumption of Rabbi Zera, who assumed that the innards were offered. And his question was simply, where? Who says they were offered to begin with? Maybe they were roasted. V'oid ha tana Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef teaches the following Tanaic source. Gimel mizbeches hayu sham. In Mitzrayim, there were three altars. And what were the altars in Mitzrayim? An altar, by the way, what its primary role is to be the basis of blood application. So in Mitzrayim there were three mizbechos, al hamashkev v'al shtei hamezuzos. One a reference to the mashkev, and the other to the two side posts of the door. The mashkev would be the lintel going across the top of the doorway. V'su midi achrino lohave, but beyond the mashkof and the shtei mezuzos, there was nothing else. There was nothing else for the offering of the emurim. Basically, we're saying there was no mizbech upon which things were burnt. So, as far as Rabbi Zera's question of Pesach Mitzrayim, where was it offered? The answer is it wasn't offered. The emurim, the innards of the Pesach Mitzrayim, were not offered to begin with. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.